So I'm just going to go ahead and do this then.
All right. I'm ready whenever you are.
We're just going to hang out. We're going to have fun. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. I'm Rashawn Parker. And if you haven't yet, please go watch my television show, Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition. Now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. Tubi TV, it's free TV. Just give me a dollar every time I say that. Yeah. Anyway, my guest today is a synthetic organic chemist. He hosts a podcast called Dan's Dabble in Babble. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Burkett. Did I say your last name right?
Welcome. You said it. You're perfect. That's absolutely correct. There's actually a bit of a dispute. There's a bit of a split in my family about it. Most of my family pronounces us as the Burkitts, but I find that when I introduce myself as Dan Burkett, people hear that sharp syllable. So I go with Burkett. So you made me happy. So you're great there.
Dan Burkett, everybody. Dan Burkett. It does have a
even the applause.
Right? Like it has a good ring to it, sir. Indeed it does. So you're hanging out in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah, sunny Florida. We got our first taste of fall weather. So this is my second year down here. I moved down from the Midwest. So it just makes me laugh when it becomes fall here, meaning that it was the first day that it was around 70 degrees before noon.
Yeah, you have not fully acclimated yet. That's what it is. You're still like, it's warm. Give it seven more years.
You know, you say that, but last year when it would be like in the 60s, when I would go out to my car, it would be like, oh, it's kind of chilly. And I'm like, I'm going to die when I go home for Christmas. But it is funny. All of the Floridians down here are like, oh my gosh, how are you out without a jacket when it's 70 degrees? So, I mean, it felt amazing today, but certainly like calling this fall still, I can't quite get on board with that.
Yeah. It's actually colder here than I thought it would be by now. Like last night we were sitting out on the deck and I'm like, let's all go sit outside. And we got outside. And I'm like, holy shit, it's fucking cold out here. And it's probably was only like, it was like 65. So like, you know,
frigid.
I'm from Ohio. Right. So I grew up in Ohio anyway. And so very used to the cold. And I did the same
thing. What part of Ohio did you grow up in?
I went to Newark High School, Newark, which is a little outside of Columbus. And then we moved to Athens. And I was in Athens for about 10 years before I moved here.
Oh, beautiful. I spent a little bit of time in the Cleveland area.
Yeah. Where were you from up north?
So I'm originally from Indiana, Terre Haute, Indiana.
Oh, neighbors. We were neighbors.
Brief stint in Cleveland and then lived in Milwaukee for a few years, a year in the suburbs of Chicago, and now on to warmer pastures.
You're like, it's always warm for me, even in the dead of winter.
I know. I was in Milwaukee for a polar vortex where we hit negative 50 degrees. I was like, this is not for me.
Did anything work?
No, absolutely not. It was like, and so I was a grad student at the time. So I was like, I've still got to get into the lab. Car wouldn't start. I'm like, you know, what am I even trying this for? I'm just going to go in, close all my blinds and just huddle under every blanket I have and just hope that it warms up eventually.
Was the furnace running?
Yeah. Luckily, I never lost heat, never lost power.
The gas ran. The gas ran.
It's been terrifying. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. I don't know that I've ever actually been in negative 50.
No, that it was unreal. It was, I mean,
negative 15. I think I've experienced on several occasions.
Yeah, yeah,
and that hurts.
And I mean, at a certain point, it's all painful. So I mean, what is there to really deal with?
It's just hide, yeah. I guess. Milwaukee, horrible. Yeah,
just praying that the pipes don't burst and all that.
I was talking to somebody from New Hampshire the other day, and they said the only thing that keeps them warm is the syrup.
Hey, whatever you've got, I guess you got to make do with what you're given.
Right. Why don't you tell me, you got a podcast. What do you do on your podcast?
I do. Yeah. So, the format, so we just came back, from a hiatus. So I'm really excited, to be, back, but the format was, you know, that I would sit down with a professional in some industry that I knew nothing about. And initially I had a producer that would tell me very little about the guest, and I would kind of just like know the industry that they were in and just kind of go into the conversation literally as ignorant as possible. So I've talked to a Bitcoin expert, a former professional wrestler, bronze medal gold gymnast, someone who has a book publishing company. So really these diverse, interesting conversations across the board. But as I'm sure you can appreciate, with a podcast, getting the schedule to align with my producers, finding a guest, all of that, that became really cumbersome to put out regular content. So I've switched the format, and now it's mainly a solo podcast, definitely open to having guests when the opportunity arises. But it's just kind of
I'd love to be on your show. Let's dabble in.
Absolutely. I'm glad you picked up on the invitation
there. I'll dabble with you.
Good. It's always fun to dabble.
a little dabble of this, a little dabble of that.
Hey, we can dabble all day long, all the live long day. However you want to dabble, we're down. We're down at Dan's Babble.
That's cool. So didn't know anything about Bitcoin before you talked to the Bitcoin guy?
I knew very little. So I went.
You look like a guy that might own some Bitcoin. I'm just saying.
What's that?
I said you look like a guy that might own some Bitcoin. I'm just saying.
I do now. And actually that conversation convinced me. But I went into the conversation and I was like, I'm gonna be totally honest. I intentionally don't know anything about this because, quite frankly, it scares me and I don't understand it. And I'm going to stick to traditional investing. And the guy kind of convinced me in the conversation about why Bitcoin was legitimate. And then about 7 months later, I finally bought my first Bitcoin. so
congratulations, you know, sir.
It's taken some time. Do you do the crypto at all?
I've never owned a Bitcoin. I've traded and moved Bitcoin, but I've never like held Bitcoin. I was in that first little pop about like 4 or 5 years ago when it first went up to 15,000, and so I had a bunch of XRP and a couple of Ethereum, but I actually had bought Litecoin as like a fluke. Like I downloaded Coinbase, right? Mm-hmm. And was like, oh, Litecoin, whatever. I just bought it. Didn't think anything of it. And then like literally 4 days later, it was up like $100 a piece, right? And I'm like, what the? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, well, that.
So
we'll take that.
I rode that wave all the way to the top and then stayed there. I watched on the one day that shit was just like out of control. I looked at my phone and was like, I'm up like $10,000. That is not right. And I shit you not, 2 minutes later, the whole thing was just boom, down like.
Of course.
Yeah, like back to $2,000, like where it was supposed to be. And then it slowly depleted from there.
There you go.
Over the next.
But hey, you had a rush for that couple of minutes.
Yeah, right? Like it was nuts. And so ever since then, I waited and got my money back in this last pump. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I'm the other way. I invest in stocks now. I don't really
care. Yeah, that's I mean, the thing that just it's and I mean, with the stock market too, it's there's only so much that you can really understand. I mean, so much of it is speculation as it is, but it's just there's nothing tangible or fungible about the cryptocurrency. So it's just and the fact that it trades 24 hours a day, that was another big turnoff for me because I am just obsessive over my portfolios. And I'm like, if this is a portfolio that is never going to shut off, like I'm going to need an on-call therapist to just, you know, kind of talk myself off the
ledge. Well, you now realize that the weekends are down, right? It's always down for the weekend and then up, and then it does it all over again. And then sometimes it just goes way down and sometimes it goes way up. The whole, like everyone's expecting this pump towards the end of the year, right? You've heard that, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I can't even pretend to give credence to any of it. I'm just like, I have enough invested that it's like, if it all goes to zero, like it won't ruin me.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Bitcoin probably will be worth $1 million a coin at some point. Like,
yeah, that's where, I mean, I'm only in Bitcoin and Ethereum, which I feel like are going to be somewhat level. The upside, I mean, they're probably not going to explode like the random Doge to the rocket, but
right, and then back down, know, right?
But it's it allows safer. Me to dabble.
It allows you to dabble. Touche, sir. Touche. Yeah, it's a crazy world. It's you just can't do anything with them yet. Is my problem.
Well, and that was, and so that was one of my, I guess, misconceptions. But it was one thing I found really interesting is that the analogy that the Bitcoin expert made for me is that, you know, there's lots of ways that you can go to a coffee shop and buy a latte. So if you're like looking at cryptocurrency as a way to make transactions, there's not really an edge there. The key is that it's a truly decentralized currency. And the thing that sets Bitcoin apart from the altcoins is that it's totally decentralized and there can't be any more Bitcoin issued. So it's digitally scarce. It's truly scarce. So the a better analogy is like buying and holding gold. Exactly. Yeah. So, but you're right. And I mean, you are starting to see some real estate transactions, and some people accepting it, as payment, which for me seems like such a risky move as, a business or to, because it fluctuates so much. I can't wrap my head around, being able to have any sort of a stable marketplace if trading in Bitcoin really becomes that easy to do.
Have you ever heard the story about the girl who she was a server, right? And someone tipped her in Bitcoin and she just was like, whatever, like, fuck you. Right. Like, how dare you? And then years later, she remembered that guy had tipped her in Bitcoin, but she had no idea how to find it.
Yeah. Oh God. That's the type of thing where you just gotta be kicking yourself forever to but I mean I was the same way. I mean, when I remember people talking about it when it was kind of this new thing, and it's like, this seems ridiculous, and it's like, well, wish I would have just
spent a dollar or two, you know, like,
nice. I know, right? It's like, God, why? Like, in the grand scheme of things, what did I have to lose? But I mean, who could have predicted this either,
right? It's like, I mean, yeah, I've always okay, we just picked up our Tesla today. Well, my wife technically owns a Tesla, and ever since Tesla was thought of, right? Like, cool. Like, that's cool. Like, yeah, badass. Like, I want one of those one day. And I had Robinhood on my phone probably at the same time I had Coinbase on my phone. Right. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, crypto seemed cooler, and like investing just wasn't, you know, that wasn't a thing, you know?
Sure.
Right. So, shit, man. I mean, if you love something, that's what you should invest in. I guess that's what I'm trying to get to, maybe.
I think, I think that is true. And I think it's a company that certainly investing in a company, it's if you go with what you know, because you kind of have to follow your gut on what you think is a good product. Because ultimately it's like, yeah, you can get into the weeds of, you know, the management structure, PE ratios and all of that. But ultimately, it's so much of the marketplace's opinion on the products, not the actual fundamentals of the product that drive that anyway.
So if something's cool, it's going to, you know, Apple, super cool. No stopping it.
Right. Right. And it's like, I mean, I look at Apple stock basically the same way as Bitcoin. Like, it's going to steadily trend upward. So it's like, yeah, you've missed the giant potential upside of 10, 15 years ago. But it's still just, if you're not sure where to throw your money, you can't really go wrong by buying a little bit of Apple.
No, you can't. I mean, something might take them down someday, and probably not our lifetimes.
But yeah, I mean,
there may come the day that they're seers.
It's an interesting thing to think about, but it's at some point it's got to, right?
Right. As a kid, would you ever imagine that there wouldn't be seers?
Exactly. I mean, the fact that even just like, I mean, malls are more or less just completely dead. I mean, the entire
they are landscape. Great places to film zombie movies.
Absolutely,
that fantastic, is, you, and they
you
need
are
the money.
Spot on there.
So they're cheap. Yeah, there's got to be something cool to do with all those malls.
Can we do that? Yeah, it's just it's such a giant waste of space for the most part, and it's
I think they do a lot of drone flight racing in them now. Sometimes.
They do. They do. Honestly. Right, like, yeah. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. And then it's like, it's funny that those are now the cheap rent places. So there's like, they're full of like escape rooms and those kind of hokey stuff. They're not like really stores. It's the only place that there are physical stores are like the wealthy districts of urban areas. I feel like now it's not the same. Which is just, it's interesting. It's almost difficult when you actually need to find a good physical store to go to. It's difficult to find good options, I feel like, which is just wild. I mean, there's every once in a while there's things that you don't want to buy online, but
like what? I mean, food. I'm not buying my food online.
Well, okay, so I'll give you a perfect example. Is I just had my trusty dusty belt, the screw that holds it into the leather, popped off.
Did you call what? The trusty dusty belt?
My trusty dusty belt. Just you know, my belt that I wore to work every day.
Okay.
And so the buckle broke. It was actually at my best friend's wedding. Buckle broke, and I was like, shit. And so I bought a belt on Amazon, but like that is something that you want to get the sizing.
Yeah, right, okay, you're right.
The one that came was just a hair too small, and it's the same size allegedly as the belt that I had. But now I have to go through this whole hassle of sending it back, and now I'm just annoyed. And if I would have had a physical belt store, I wouldn't have these problems. And these are big issues that I'm dealing with. I think you're taking this lightly, and you really shouldn't.
You just made me miss retail. You did. I was like, yeah. You know, I was just like walking through Value City as a kid again and being like, man, I can steal all this stuff.
if I can bring a crypto bro back to brick and mortar, then I've done my job tonight.
I mean, they're working on it in places. Do you remember there was a wallet that came out, and I think I had money in it, and it's totally gone now. It doesn't exist anymore. But it was attached to a card, and you could literally go use it anywhere. Some guy went and bought beer with it. Like, there was like a viral video of the guy going and using it to buy beer. And he's like,
sure.
He's like, and you could attach a whole bunch of different coins to it so you could use it for whatever. And somehow those they went out of business. Somehow. And I never got my card anyway, but it was like, it looked like the door was opening for actual use at that time. Just like, oh, boom, right. Well, I can just go use it on any coin. I can just keep it all in Tether and use it. Right. Like, it was fine.
To me, I think a big step forward is the fact that you can now buy a few coins on Venmo. That to me seems like we're getting really close to that instant transaction. If companies like Venmo are getting into it,
and they all want it because they all know it's just going to be worth more later, right? It's not like holding a dollar where you're like, this dollar is probably going to decrease in value, but if someone tips you
exactly, even in Bitcoin, just having the option,
you probably should just keep that Bitcoin and not spend it, right? So go spend your dollar that's going to depreciate, and so that's going to keep. It's like gold; you leave it over there, you spend your dollar.
Exactly. It is. It's an interesting proposal because it seems like the bubble on that eventually has to burst though. Right. I mean, it
has to flatline. I don't know. It has to flatline. I mean, once they're all created, it has to flatline. And that's when I think it becomes usable currency, when it's all out there. Right. And now it's worth this flat rate, and that's pretty much it. Like, it's not going to increase or decrease anymore because no more can be made. It's been dispersed. And now what? I think we should have a hemp dollar, personally. A hemp dollar.
Interesting.
Why? Go on. Ask you? Well,
go on.
Because every country has the capability of growing hemp and using it industriously, if not just shipping it to a country that can then industrialize it, right? So it puts a very level playing field across the globe for what would be the commodity of choice to put your currency against, right? So right now it's oil, right? So if you can replace that, you know, that product, that commodity that's going to run out eventually, with a totally reusable thing that every single country on the planet can grow, maintain, and industrialize, and you run your currency off of that, then scarcity is never a problem, because if one part of the world can't be growing right now, the other part of the world will. Kind of like how Canada does with syrup.
Sure.
You know? Sure.
Back to the syrup. Back to the syrup. Got a one-track mind. Apparently doubled some syrup, sir.
But you have the reserves, right? And if all the buildings are being made out of it, it becomes a very necessary commodity across the world that's reusable forever.
It's interesting. It's still the biggest attraction I have to the cryptocurrency is the decentralized nature and governments not having their hand in it. Right. So,
do you think we'll still need governmental like money involved, to control markets? I mean, because if Bitcoin's just out there by itself and it's something that people do use, but the countries are all still going to have their dollar, or all the countries are going to go to their own coin, right? We have not talked about food at all, but I love talking about crypto.
Sure. I mean, listen, we can talk about food all you want. This is, I'm coming at this from somebody who's had one, I dabbled in one conversation with one Bitcoin expert.
And when was that?
I'm talking like I'm qualified to be having this conversation.
Yeah, because you dive right in. Well, as soon as you get into it, you're going to look up everything you can possibly look up, and you're going to read everything you can possibly read, and just to make sure that your money's safe, right? And then you're going to concern yourself by watching it every day like a crazy person. And then
But in 3 years, when the hemp dollar is out, I'm going to be like, damn, I should have really listened to that when I had that one conversation. So I already know how this is going.
Just to replace OPEC,
There you go. I mean, listen, I'm all for replacing OPEC.
Anyway, amen. You're going to cure, you might have cured some diabetes or something like that.
that is part of my opening line to how it's
a good segue too. I felt like
it is it's a great segue. It's kind of one of those questions, especially like when you're really in the thick of research and someone's like asking you to talk about your research. At least for me, it was always kind of like now the project that you're talking about, I've had some success with it, so I'm happy to talk about it. But when you're in the thick of it, it's kind of like, I'm thinking about this all the time. I'm working for grants all the time. Let's talk about anything else. But with that said, so I am a synthetic organic chemist, so specifically in medicinal chemistry. And the kind of overarching goal of my project is that there is an enzyme, pyruvate carboxylase, that we know is overexpressed in type 2 diabetic patients and in several strains of breast cancer patients. So there was a study done in 2009 where there are these rats that are bred to be naturally diabetic. And so they had the overexpressed pyruvate carboxylase enzyme. But then they were genetically modified to basically turn the gene that expresses that enzyme off. So they did not produce that enzyme. And what they found were that the rats were able to survive. They gained weight less quickly than the diabetic rats, and their response to insulin was greatly improved. So all things that you would want if you were a diabetic, right? So it takes less insulin to lower your blood sugar more. The reason that kind of therapy is not used medicinally, go ahead.
Did you try giving them a vegan diet to see if that worked?
I can tell you that the diets were labeled as either high fat or, regular chow. So the high fat very well could have been keto, at least. I don't know about vegan.
Touche.
But so the goal of my project was to see if we could target this enzyme with a small molecule, and really kind of, so we wanted to learn more about its role in type 2 diabetes and validate it as an alternative treatment method for diabetes. And basically where the project stands now is I'm very good at designing molecules that shut this enzyme down. And so we're moving toward being able to take these types of molecules into more advanced biochemical assays. So that will, like, if we shut down the enzyme, can we tie that to an insulin receptor and see how that affects insulin response? And then ultimately, then the next step would be to introduce this to animal models to see if the same effects can be had in a living model. So, you know, it's the type of thing where there are lots of diabetic treatments. So it's we don't have necessarily huge pharma money behind us. So it's a very slow progression. And it's really more discovery work. Curing type 2 diabetes is a very, very lofty goal. But we're certainly learning more about an enzyme involved in type 2 diabetes. And there's got to be value in that. There just has to be, right?
No, for sure. That's fucking cool. I couldn't do that. So bravo to you again. Dan Burkett, everybody. Yeah,
two rounds of applause in that night. Yes, you are far too kind, sir.
Do it again, sir. Do it again. So what inspired you to do that? Was it like somebody in your family, or was it just like, you're like, I just want to do that?
So I'll give you the romantic story first. So my cousins and I always joke that we are racing toward diabetes because everyone in our family has develops type 2 diabetes. Most of our parents are able to control it with diet and exercise. But, you know, my grandpa had type 2 diabetes. Grandma had type 2 diabetes. So there is that family connection, which made the projects cool. But to be totally honest, I went to graduate school because I hated my job as a color research chemist and started my first year on a project that was an inorganic methodology project, which means there are these types of molecules and we can make them this way. Let's see if you can figure out a better way. And it turns out that the paper that that project was based on was total garbage. The results were not reproducible. So really burned a year of time on that. And then kind of in that year, this came up. This started as kind of a side project. It was given to me as, you know, this should be the type of thing where we get some good data. You can just mentor some undergrads and have the undergrads do the bulk of the work. Well, it turns out that it ended up being much more complicated than that, much more time consuming, but it gave me a lot of good data that I could talk about in things like my qualifying seminars in grad school, write a thesis over, get published in. So
learn, you know, from your mistakes, which talking about and explaining your mistakes of learning is all the learning. That's science.
Exactly. So really that was the, I wish I could tell you that I was more passionate about it, but what I'm really passionate about is chemical education, to be quite frank. So I had a job
showing kids that chemicals are cool.
What's that?
Showing kids that chemicals are cool.
Showing the kids that chemicals are cool. That is what I do every day. And it's wonderful. But
Dan Burkett, the science guy, guys.
That
take
is
that, Bill.
You know, my students tell me that I would be a hot TikTok teacher. And like, that is flattering, I think, but also no. So that's where I'm at with my TikTok. You know, I got the podcast. I feel like that's already trying to be too cool.
If you just start doing dances on TikTok, I will follow you, I promise. I've been considering it myself, actually. I have one hip replacement and one that still has like terrible, terrible arthritis in it, right? So, but I still think I could give it a go.
Listen, the arthritic dancer, I think you got your handle right there.
Beyond the arthritis.
Exactly. There you go. There's your hook. See, you're a natural salesman. I'm already your number one follower.
It's the inspiration of the gabbled and the dabble.
I love it. Listen, you gotta reach the youth somehow. Although I get this sneaking suspicion that in like 6 months, TikTok is just gonna be it's gonna be passé. But I am willing to be wrong about that as well.
The app itself is I find to be an impressive app. Like as far as its ability to just make editing easy and putting it together and then just like pumping it out, like it is one of the easiest. Like Instagram tries to like compete with that, but like Instagram is so much more. And I don't know, TikTok is just so easy. Like it's easy. The app itself, like the designers of the app itself did a really good job of just making it user friendly. And just even if you can't edit shit, like you will figure it out on TikTok and it's not that hard.
That's so I've really not dabbled in TikTok at all. So I can't affirm that, but I mean, that does seem to be
Trust me, I know.
And that is when when I assign projects to my students and they turn in just these like boring, like, see, they think academic projects, like I just have to recite facts and it has to be very formal and professional. I'm like, no, like give me something that people actually want to watch. Like you guys are all on TikTok. You know what's aesthetically appealing. Apply the same principles to talking about chemistry so people will actually listen to you.
Make your science cool, kids.
Exactly.
They're just like, we're not as cool as you, Dan. You should do it.
Listen, well, there's enough videos that my students have of me rapping and reciting poetry about chemistry, but I've inspired
the, I'm with the kids now. You need to up your TikTok game.
Listen, I would need to start my TikTok game.
We got to start somewhere.
But I don't know. It just seems so cringy. Like to be.
It did to me too. It did to me too, Dan.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. This may be like my Bitcoin conversation.
I really like now. I really like posting the dog. So the dog videos were just easy to. The reason I use, because the app was so easy. And so then I can take those videos and I just post them to Instagram, right? It just makes the whole thing easier. I don't have to mess with reels. I can just post it to a reel, right? Like, I don't know how much you Instagram either. I just got into deep diving that.
Listen, I do. So like, I do very little with social media. Like I don't know. I post maybe like once every 3 months on Instagram. It's just maybe I'm missing out on this market.
But you're not. I mean, okay, the market, okay. Yes, but like, the constantness of it, like it's always there, like every day you're like, right. And I have four different Instagram accounts, right? Plus Facebook, plus LinkedIn, plus you got all that shit. It's a nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare.
Four different Instagram accounts. How many lives are you leading?
Well, I got the dogs, you know, I got Sugar and Bones, you know, so they got their own little account. And then I got mine. And then I have Beyond the Checks. And then I have Independent Lasagnas, which is the production company. So I got just those four.
It's a lot to manage. A lot of content you're producing. I need that. You're just, God, making me feel like I'm not hustling at all.
I cheat a little because I shoot the whole show, right? And then I take excerpts, and then all those excerpts from the show just become content. Or, you know, I try to take pictures of my food and my stuff, you know, like. People I used to hate, right?
It's a way to do it.
Like, how did you feel about those people when Facebook first came out? Were you taking pictures of your food or like looking at people's breakfasts? How'd you feel about it?
The food pictures? So this is funny because my boyfriend is a very big The Phone Eats First person. But he also doesn't do social media. So like he doesn't post these pictures anywhere. He just has pictures of food.
For his own personal use.
So there you go. But like I will say, like I love it on a platform like Reddit. But like on Reddit, there's like great meal prep subreddits where people are actually then showing you how to prepare the meal. It's not just like the food porn thing. I'm not into it. Like if I'm looking at food, I want to know how to prepare the food. Otherwise, it's useless to me.
Good to know. There are people who do watch the how-to videos. Good to know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Apparently, there's a big. I was just reading about the salmon rice trend that apparently went viral.
Go on. Tell me more.
Apparently, from the video, it looks like it's basically just salmon rice, sriracha, and mayo. There's got to be more to it though, and It
looks like there's probably not.
Together really quickly in a microwave, and apparently it's
shut
like,
up
it's
in the microwave. Rage.
I'm like, this is basically just like very simple poke. Like it's not. I don't.
So they're poaching. Is the salmon raw, and they're just poaching it in the microwave?
I don't know.
God, I hope.
I wish I had answers for you.
That's depressing.
Again, depressing an expert me. I am not. I can talk about pyruvate, carboxylase, and
that's like ordering ketchup for your steak. It's just wrong.
Never. Oh my gosh. No. I have class. Listen. I'm an expert on salmon rice. I am not. I fancy myself to be a quite adept chef. But I'm just the social media of it all, that's where it escapes me.
So I found that the easiest thing to do if you want to is just take the three pictures, right? Take the ingredient picture and take like maybe like a process picture or two, and then just take a finished picture, and then you just post that all together. And you're like, boom, now you're a food blogger, right? Like,
This is the next phase. After TikTok dancer, of course.
I mean, the kids will love it. The kids are going to love it. for the kids, Dan. For the kids.
Yeah, I think that's hard to justify. I don't know. The kids already took enough of me.
Touche. You do the cooking in the household then?
You guys cook together?
Or does he do the dishes and you do the cooking? Because that's how it is.
So we don't live together. So yes, I do the cooking in my household. But we do. So Wednesday night is our Survivor night, and we take turns cooking.
That show's still on?
It's still on.
Shut the fuck
great.
Up.
It's great. Okay. So we
season 25? Where are we?
Where it's like season 42, I think.
Season 42? They have more episodes than the seasons than The Simpsons?
Yeah, it's so they do two seasons a year.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Touche.
Plus the celebrity editions, or how's that work?
I don't know that they've done celebrity editions. So I'll be honest. So my boyfriend and I have been together for 8 months. He got super into it and like watched everything when lockdown first happened.
All he did during all of quarantine was watch Survivor.
Well, not all he did. when he got hooked. And so
that's a lot of seasons.
It is a lot of seasons, but you get hooked.
Did you rewatch him with him? We're gonna get to the dinner and the food here at some point.
When someone tells me, it was like on our second date, he was like, "I'm obsessed with Survivor." And I'm like, "Okay, like cool." And then I'm like, "Okay, this is a little ridiculous." But then I started watching it, and I got hooked, and I've been through, I don't know, probably 10 seasons in about 2 months, about 3 months. I haven't been quite as committed to the process. But anyway.
So it's Survivor night and we're making dinner. Okay. All right. It's Wednesday.
So Survivor night, we're making dinner. So we switch off.
Survivor Wednesday nights at 10. Don't name it.
Exactly. And listen, if you want a great meal, the greater Tampa Bay area. Actually, no, you're not invited to our Survivor nights. I mean, you are. You are welcome anytime.
No, you guys aren't.
Your audience. Right. Your audience, I don't know.
Right. Fuck off, guys. Have your own Survivor night. Tell me the dinner's themed and you just eat like nuts and berries or like a frog that you found on the sidewalk or something.
No, nothing like that, unfortunately.
Oh, well.
We'll progress to that eventually, I'm sure. It's just kind of whatever the mood is calling for. Done some pineapple barbecue pork, did some creamy garlic Cajun chicken pasta.
Oh, can I go find pictures of that somewhere?
You actually cannot, unfortunately, because I keep it for myself. You have to be in my close circle to get food, to know, to get to know.
If you want to see Dan's food porn, you have to be invited to dinner, and you're not. So too fucking bad.
But you are. You are. Just you. You listen.
You're just down the road.
You're joking now. You're gonna be making the drive on Wednesday. I can feel it.
I mean, what's for dinner? What are we having?
It's actually not my turn. It's not my turn. So I don't know. I can't tell you for this Wednesday.
Surprise for everyone.
It's a surprise. Mm-hmm.
So what was your favorite thing to eat when you were a kid?
Favorite thing to eat when I was a kid?
Yeah, like what was your go-to? If you could ask mom for anything, what were you asking for?
You know, it's as a kid, but it's evolved to still my favorite thing is a chicken pot pie, like a homemade chicken pot pie. So my mom would put sausage in hers, and that was the kicker.
Really kicked it up a notch.
Yeah. But that's like, I don't know. There's something to me that just like when you get the crust just right and it's so creamy and nice and hot, it's just very, like, it's very homey. It's very just, you know, that's my thing.
Have you personally made your mother's chicken and sausage pot pie?
You know, I have never made it myself.
Oh, you're going to now, though, aren't you?
I will say a couple weeks ago, the boyfriend did though, and he knocked it out of the park. So
with your mom's recipe?
I took that, not my mom's recipe. No, there was no sausage in it, but I was just like, this is a very good omen that like you nailed it. Cause it was allegedly his first time making homemade chicken pot pie. And,
bravo to Dan's boyfriend, everybody.
I know. Big.
Turns out he found his calling and it's chicken pot pies.
If his calling is making me happy, he figured out how to do that.
Aw, that's precious. Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
it's just, oh my gosh. I'm gushing. I need to stop. Not a good book.
It's all right. You're just going to be a picture next to my desk anyway. It's fine. But a good picture.
Good. Always a good picture.
I found that, like, and here's why I did that or do that. Unless you're in the studio, because you usually try to, like, you know, look your best if you're like, you know, you're going to be somewhere with somebody, right? But a lot of the times people are just like in their pajamas with like their hairs in curls sometimes, and they're just like, what's up? And it's like, oh, hey, do you want me to post the video of you looking? I'm just going to put this really cute picture instead.
There you go. Yeah, I really, as you can tell, did not take into account did not try to make my background picturesque at all. It just, you've got the glory of the spare bedroom here. So.
Don't worry, I'm not using it. I think you have the same like headboard that we have, actually. Looks like. Is that thing tall? That. Is it a super high bed? The thing like super high?
It can be, high? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because ours is like at my waist and I'm 6 foot tall. It's like. We have to have steps for the dogs to get up there. Literally, we bought steps so that they can get up on the bed.
And so you're asleep with the dogs kind of guy.
Oh yeah, they're in the bed all the time. A lady asked me the other day if I could have one memory forever. What would it be? And I'd be like, I'd just be in bed with my wife and my dogs. Like, and she's like, you just be in bed all the time. I'd be yeah. Do you have? I mean, listen, can you think of somewhere better else to be?
I get it. No. I mean, I no hate for me on that one.
Mm-hmm. They're fucking cuddly. They're way more cuddly than my wife. She hates to cuddle, but the dog.
Oh my gosh, that is okay. I am such a big cuddler, and this is like the one point of friction. It's just like I want to constantly be engulfed. And I will say it's he's generous enough. Keeps me happy enough with the cuddles. I'm very lucky to get the cuddles that I get. So just in case he listens to this,
I
want to make it clear that the scraps of cuddles that I get, I am not complaining about. I love it. But that is totally, I'm just like, why? Like, so what if it's hot and it's sweaty? Like, I'm not afraid of a little sweat. I want the cuddles.
Yeah. And she's always hot too. So she's like, I'm hot. No, get away. I'm hot. Like, she's always hot.
Yeah. When he claims that I like apparently radiate heat, and I'm like, yes, because I'm just so warm and loving. Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
We should just cuddle Dan.
Listen, if push comes to shove, we've got each other.
I mean, if you're ever in 50 degrees, minus 50 degree weather together.
Oh my God. Well, I don't care who I'm with. If I'm in minus 50 degree weather, I'm either cuddling or dying.
Or dead.
Never again. Never again. I'm striving, making great strides to not find myself in that situation.
Yeah. Stay in Florida. Stay in Florida. Don't.
I love it. No complaints.
Don't go to Canada.
No.
Or
do
Russia.
Not plan to.
Russia, stay very far away from Russia. Very cold in Russia.
Do not plan to. There is, I really,
also,
I really.
Very oppressive in Russia.
Little bit.
Stay away from Russia on all fronts.
Yeah.
Especially the cold ones.
Thanks for looking up.
Yeah, no problem.
You got my best interests in mind. I appreciate that.
Putin looks like a dick. Don't kill me. Please don't kill me.
You're in Savannah. You're fine. I think the oppression does have a limit eventually.
I have a secret theory that Putin had Bourdain killed.
That Putin had what?
Putin had Anthony Bourdain killed. I think it might have been Putin.
Interesting.
If you've ever watched the Russian episode of Parts Unknown, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I have not, but now Obviously that's the top of my viewing list.
Yeah, super. Super creepy. Like, he is not friendly. And here's why I think that. I think that Putin was an Anthony Bourdain fan. And he's like, oh, Bourdain's coming to Russia. Yeah, I mean, sweet. Very good. And then he watched the episode and he's like, that fucking asshole. He's like, not today, not tomorrow, but one day, you're hanging the motherfucker. And that's just my theory. I tried to even look on the internet to see if anyone else had this theory. No one does. So it's just mine.
I am not going to affirm or refute this theory. I am going to play it safely. I would like the record to show that I am smiling and nodding as the theory is explained. And that smile and nod is not meant to convey any sort of agreement.
This stranger whose name is unknown to all of us has nothing to do with any of the things that were pre-mentioned before, previously on this show in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you.
I think you're safe in Florida. I think Florida's pretty safe
in general.
I mean, unless of course you go too far out in the country, then you might run into a Florida man, and just you don't want to do that.
Florida men aren't bad.
Well, if you'd like, you know how you can Google like whatever day you want, and just with Florida man.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just make a podcast called Florida Man, where we just look up what happened and then just talk about for an hour that one specific event on the day that we're recording.
But this is the selling point. First of all, I think that would be a great podcast. Secondly, this is the selling point. This is my selling point of Florida, is you can do literally whatever you want here. Like the swamp welcomes all. Whatever niche you are in, there is a place for you in Florida, I promise.
From Disneyland to the bayou.
Exactly. We've got it all. It truly is all encompassing.
Disney World.
Objectively the
Disney
best
World.
State. Disney World is in Disney, Orlando, yeah.
It's in Orlando.
Yeah.
If you're you're hours behind and you're late if you're going to Disneyland.
Exactly.
Right. Have you run into any alligators? You seen any gators or anything?
I've seen some gators. Yeah, I've seen some baby gators mostly. So the school that I work for, we have a service week, and I was cleaning up beaches. And like the kids that have grown up in Florida are like, yeah, so what, a baby gator? And I was like, this is fucking awesome. What are you talking about? There's a baby gator right there.
Adorable little baby gator. Come on, guys. Let's give it some bread.
Exactly.
Or a toe.
Exactly. the baby gator I was fine with. What if felt differently, that there was a larger gator, but it was on the other side of the lake that we were at, so
mama gator watching from afar, huh?
It was, but yeah, way too far to cause me any harm.
I have a really good John Cusack and baby gator story to tell you on your podcast, so just,
all right,
just remember to ask me about John Cusack and the gator.
All right, can't wait.
And I'll tell you that story. So if you want to hear that story, you're going to have to listen to Dan's podcast, Dabble and Gap. Oh, fuck. What's the podcast? Specific title.
Dabble and Babble.
Stan's Dabble and Babble.
Oh, my gosh. Am I making you nervous? You can barely get it out without giggling.
You're making me blush, it's sir. Okay. You're making me blush.
It's just me. It's just me. No need to be nervous. Yeah.
It's the glasses. And for a second, I thought you were Snowden, and I was like, oh. the light keeps shining from behind your head. And if you ever watch any of this his like interviews, the Snowden interviews, right? Like when he's like Zoom talking.
Mm-hmm.
It was
okay. Listen, I'll jive with it. I've already flattered myself by making you admit that you're nervous. It's okay.
Yeah.
I've done my job.
Congratulations. Hashtag winning. Dan Burkett.
you can't help. Listen, the giggles have started, and it's okay. Just take a breath.
I'm trying to think of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's name, which I just did, because if they hadn't given Joseph Gordon-Levitt the part in Snowden, I'm pretty sure that you were next up for that.
Listen, I will happily be compared to JGL any day of the week.
Because you're both badasses. That's why. Badasses helping the world.
Listen. Right? Listen. 500 Days of Summer. Great movie.
I don't know that I've ever actually watched it.
Oh my goodness. Well, if you want more Joseph Gordon-Levitt, now that you've met his doppelganger, clearly, just watch it and happily think of me, sir, and get all giggly and red-faced.
This is natural too, by the way. There's no rouge involved. This is like I have like Santa. I'm somehow related to Santa Claus, and like so the rosy cheeks come natural. Yeah,
I can see it. You've definitely got a strong Claus gene.
That is an all natural blush, ladies and gentlemen. All natural.
Very impressive.
You can't buy this shit.
Love it.
All right. If you, what's your favorite part about hosting a podcast?
So I find it very cathartic. It's the kind of thing where you can prepare for it as much or as little as you want. And it's, you know, like I said, when there's a guest on, this is a perfect example, quite frankly, of, you know, not really knowing what I'm getting myself into, but the conversations just end up being just so much fun. And there are conversations that we would have never had this opportunity to connect if there wasn't this podcast connection. So hands down, just talking to people, and just seeing where the conversation goes.
Truth. I have two for you. What's your favorite part about trying to solve diabetes?
The favorite part about that, honestly, is so the research itself is incredibly frustrating. And I'm a person that I'm really bad about separating my emotions from how my research progress is going. And if you talk to any synthetic organic chemist, they'll tell you, for a very good organic chemist, 90% of your reactions are going to fail. So dealing with that failure and separating your emotions from that is really difficult. So the actual research part of it really can be draining sometimes. But then when you have this complete story and you have something that you can actually talk about and present at a conference or write up and actually tell the story of your work, communicating the importance of that and communicating the significance of that, are really what kept me going on that project, definitely.
Very nice. And it's a lifelong life saving. So if you are an animal out there who would like to be cured of your diabetes before humans, you can sign up at if you're a raccoon who's tired of eating all the McDonald's trash and realize that
Reach out to me on Twitter at Babbling Dan. Shameless plug for my Twitter there.
Right, raccoons have thumbs, so they definitely can do that.
Exactly. I know my audience. I know all. I didn't tell you this, but it's amazing that you picked up on it. That all of my listeners are just a family of raccoons. So.
Oh. Oh well, fantastic.
You know.
Well, I would have talked some more about trash more then.
That is people's first response when they see me, is this looks like a guy that I need to talk about trash.
Like,
This guy looks like he knows some trash.
How do you feel about old discarded banana peels? I mean, really?
And
do they go with that leftover piece of rotten ham?
I think they go with everything. You know, of the discarded food droppings, I would argue that a discarded banana peel really is one of the least offensive. You know, degrades very quickly. The problem is the flies. The flies that it attracts is not also, my cup of tea.
Also can be very dangerous if you slip on it.
Listen, everything comes with risk. Right? Everything comes with risk.
This has been fucking awesome, Dan.
This has been so much fun. I've had the best time. I will certainly reach out about getting you on my dabble and babble.
I want to dabble and babble. I need to dabble and babble. Dabble and babble.
I love it. I love it. You see, you're a natural born content maker. I can see the where the TikTok is strong.
I only have like 10 followers. It's like 10.
Oh, 10. It'll grow. You got to start from somewhere.
They're all squirrels.
Listen, well, hey, you get the raccoons, you get the squirrels talking. Now we've got a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I love the squirrels because they're all full of nuts. Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Something we have in common. Oh.
Joe! He took it to the next level, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Burkett, everybody. Dan Burkett. Hey, you want to throw out your social medias? Where can we follow you? Where can we listen? And where can we get more Dan Burkett?
Definitely. Please support the podcast. It's Dan's Dabble and Babble. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, basically anywhere you find a podcast, you're going to be able to find Dan's Dabble and Babble. Would love to get a listen. You can interact with me directly on Twitter. My show's Twitter is @BabblingDan. And then I do have an Instagram. You can follow me. It is @DanielBurkett.
But there's no point in it because there's nothing to see.
No, you have not even scrolled through. I said my content was sparse, not that it wasn't A-plus content. Now, I await your follow so you can eat your words, sir.
It's quality over quantity. I get it.
Exactly. That is my entire game.
Touche. That's because this is one of the smartest people that you will ever get the chance to listen to him babble and learn about all kinds of crazy stuff that he's going to learn about.
Love this podcast and you can't get enough of this guy, he's going to be on Dan's Dabble and Babble very soon.
And I can't wait to do so. One more time, and I don't know how many this is, but I'm giving you one more. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Check podcast. Please go watch my show and check out Dan's Babble and Gabble. Fucking shit.
Listen, it's okay. Just you're nervous. Right. I've got it for you. It is Dan's Dabble and Babble. I've made the host nervous, but you've been gracious. This has been wonderful.
It's been fantastic. We will do this again soon. Cheers, everyone. Dan Burkett, one last time.
Be kind.
Ever out. Cool. Awesome.
Seriously, this was a lot of fun.
No, it is. That was fucking great.